would like to know if they don't do something by and by. The rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
Oh, hi, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're just sort of finishing up on this thing about Abel Danger. The problem I have with that, there's a type of propaganda trick called a limited hangout, where you will pretend to admit to something that everybody already knows anyway in order to use it to sort of validate yet another piece of deception. And the problem I have with all of this Abel Danger revelation is it still portrays 9/11 in terms of being carried out by dangerous Arab Muslim terrorists, which we know is not truth. It's just another way of trying to sell the official line about it's Osama bin Laden and his boys who did it, but it's done in a very clever way to make it look like the government is admitting something they didn't want to admit. And then people will say, oh, let's get in here and look at the fine details. And then it basically goes back to selling the orthodox account. So I'm not paying that much attention to Abel Danger or this interview because, frankly, at this point, I think anything coming out of the media or the government that talks about 9/11 that doesn't mention U.S. and Israeli complicity is, you know, by definition and by default, just more of the same old bovine excrement, and I'm really not interested in it. Okay, anything else, Mike?
Yeah, Mike, I couldn't agree with you 100% on that. The Israeli connection 9/11 definitely is a litmus test as to whether you're getting all the facts on the subject. What I was referring to, though, on a broader range, hearing interviews like that pretty much at least verify that the Bush administration could not have been shocked or surprised or totally off guard when that happened. But more broadly speaking, I'm watching Beck saying some things that, I mean, are horribly close to the truth. I mean, talking about Federal Reserve, talking about Woodrow Wilson, talking about Jekyll Island, talking about these things. I mean, he reaches 50 million viewers.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm just wondering how close. I mean, why am I watching this kind of stuff you would never see in the mainstream media just a year ago, and all of a sudden now you're turning on every other station, and it's like listening to your show in some respects.
Well,
I just want to know what your thoughts were on just the change
We're driving the media. We are driving the media. The first time it happened was back when the Downing Street Minutes broke into the news in the European media, and we had it on the blogs here in the United States for like a whole month before the American media finally decided we got to pick it up. Well, now the American corporate media, they're losing audience like crazy. We're gaining audience like crazy. According to Google Analytics, 39 million web pages around the world link to my website. Okay, so the corporate media knows once it's out on the blogs, once it's being talked about on Republic Broadcasting Network, once it's on, you know, pick a blog. There are thousands of them out there. Once it's out there, the public knows about it. The majority of the public are now getting their political news from the blogs. If the media doesn't follow along, if they don't report on the things that we're making our lead stories, then the corporate media is losing even more credibility and even more advertisers and audience than they were before. So right now, they've lost control of the news cycle. They don't get to decide what the news is anymore. We, the people, do. This is the ultimate expression of democracy. 5,000 websites with 5,000 diverse opinions deciding for themselves what is important for the American people to know. And the corporate media, they're either going to acknowledge it and deal with it, or they're going to become even more irrelevant than they already are.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. You know, I'd pay money to see you interview Rick Sanchez on your show.
Well, if I can get him on, I definitely will. We're trying to grow the show and get more guests on. And like I said, we're still waiting for Norman Finkelstein to call in today, or probably more likely tomorrow. So, Mike, we're going to let you go. Thanks an awful lot. We're coming here to the end of our intro segment here for hour number two. When we come back, I want to talk about developments in Afghanistan. One more quick story out of the economy regarding mortgage bullies and foreclosure gate. We're going to be dealing with that. This is really an ugly, ugly story, and I think we need to give it a lot more attention about, and we need to find out how many Americans have lost their homes, have had their homes taken away, who didn't deserve to have it happen. We have to deal with that. We'll be right back.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I think one of the most disgusting aspects of our American culture are how many people are willing to personally profit by the misfortune of so many of their fellow Americans. And as you know, foreclosure gate is beginning to explode across the public consciousness. And what I mean by that is the awareness that many of the foreclosures that the country has suffered under over the last 18 months were arrived at through fraudulent means without the correct paperwork. We have come to understand that these brand new companies, these foreclosure mills, have sprung into existence to profit off of this phenomenon, where they use computers that simply flood the courts with documents and paperwork to start foreclosure on anybody they think might be a target. They're making mistakes. One guy down in Florida, his home was foreclosed on by Bank of America. He didn't even have a mortgage with them. Didn't even have a mortgage with anybody. The house was completely paid for. We had another one where a senior bank executive basically admitted she was just stamping the foreclosure application. She wasn't actually checking to see if the payments were in arrears or they were delinquent or needed to go. They're processing it through. They're processing the theft of America's homes, and they're not being very careful about it. And Americans are now becoming, you know, aware that this is going on. The banks have responded by saying, well, we're going to put a halt to it for right now until we can clean up the mess. That does not address the issue of how many millions of people are homeless right now because the banks just decided, hey, that looks good, we'll take it. We don't care if you've paid for it or not. We're going to grab it. Nobody knows. In a lot of cases, the foreclosing agency can't even find who's got title on the property. It is a huge mess. It has reached the point where title insurance companies are now saying, wait a minute, we can't do title insurance on these properties anymore because nobody seems to know where the title is. And if you can't get title insurance companies to insure the title on a house, then housing sales are going to take it in the kneecap here. It's a huge, huge mess. And now we're finding out that along with all these other little sub-companies that are springing to existence to, you know, to hand out the summons, and they're not really doing it, and to process the paperwork, and they're just taking shortcuts, there are these so-called mortgage bullies. These are the private contractors who are basically given instructions. They're hired to go to a home, break down the door, change all the locks, and basically seize control of the property. And they're showing up at homes that are perfectly occupied by people who don't even know they're under foreclosure. And in some cases, they aren't. It's just the lists are generated by computers, and these guys are going out there and grabbing the property. This is the forced confiscation of America's homes. The right to private ownership of property is evaporating before your very eyes under pretense of financial calamity. But now we're finding out that a significant number of these foreclosures should never have happened, should never have been allowed to have happened, are completely fraudulent. And nobody's really doing much about that at all. Okay, Dan is now in the control room. Our phone lines are still 800-313-9443, and we have Davey in Texas. Aloha, Davey. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Davey, you there? Going once? Going twice? I guess I must have talked him to sleep here. Alrighty, turning over here to news in Afghanistan. The Taliban are reporting that they have captured a U.S. base in the Kunar province. Basically, they're saying they attacked the base and overran it. The base's American defenders fled in helicopters. The United States is refusing to either confirm or deny the story, which is basically admitting that, yeah, it happened. We're losing there. We're losing there in Afghanistan. But, hey, nothing to worry about. That's not where the opium is growing anyway. So thank goodness the drug money is still protected and everything is just fine. Now, meanwhile, we had what appears to have been a botched rescue raid where this British aid worker, Linda Norgrove, had been captured by the Taliban, and the Americans went in to rescue her, and in the process, Linda Norgrove was killed. Now, of course, the United States came out and said those dastardly Taliban, when they knew that we were coming to rescue her, they just killed her in cold blood. Now, the British government is saying, actually, no, Linda Norgrove was killed by an American hand grenade. Some gung-ho, trigger-happy jarhead running in to rescue this lady just threw in a grenade, I guess to kill everybody in the room, and said, oh, golly, was there somebody in the room we were supposed to keep alive? Golly gee shuckies, I hate it when things like that happen. So completely botched this one as well. Now, Pakistan has once again chastised the White House for exaggerating the Al-Qaeda. Oh, wait a minute, here we go. Let's see. The phones are back alive again. We're going to go to Davey in Texas. Aloha, Davey. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right, then. Oh, man, did you remember seeing ATF shoot their own guys that first day?
Oh, I remember that. I remember, about Waco. I've got that on video.
Yeah, you actually have the photograph, Rod Adelaide's photograph of the front of the building. That's a killer shot, man.
Yeah, it is. It proves all the gunfire was going from the BATF in, and nobody was shooting back out. All the working guns were out at a gun show that day.
Have you ever listened to the 911 tapes where Larry Lynch asks Wayne Martin five times where he's located in the building?
Yeah, I have.
And then they start shooting at him.
Yeah, it was absolutely a Charlie Foxtrot right from the very beginning, and they did it because the BATF was in serious trouble politically. They'd had a whole string of kicking down the wrong.
You know, I've heard that, and I don't disagree with you and all, but if you ever, and I know it's a little bit of a logistical challenge for you to actually go to that site proper, but where that building is located, right to the west, southwest from there, is a CIA facility. And it used to be on the internet, you could look on there, because that building now belongs to L3 Communications, who's producing the drone aircraft, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, they were refitting, allegedly, aircraft, and they had produced this big, huge building over there that could house four wide-body aircraft simultaneously. Now, you know, the same perpetrators that did the Kennedy assassination did 9-1-1. And just to belabor the point, Bibi Netanyahu was in New York, and he said, well, this is great for the Jewish state today. And, you know, like the London bombings on the public transportation over there, is it true that they were having, you know, drills just like they were having on 9-11 in London that day?
Yeah, and I'll go you one better. We had a source in London that said the week before the drill, there were people going through the Muslim neighborhood trying to hire people to play terrorists for this terror drill.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and when you consider one of the so-called terrorists had a brand new baby, you know, he's a family guy and he needed the money. You know, somebody who just has a brand new baby is not the sort of person who's going to go out and kill himself and martyr himself in a terrorist attack. When you have a kid to take care of, your whole world perception changes.
Exactly. And incidentally, you know, have you seen that crime scene interrogatory website, Ken Fawcett's website, where he shows the ATF agents taking a child over to the ambulance? You seen those photographs?
You mean, are we back at Waco now? Because you're jumping
right
all over the...
Yeah,
okay.
Right, because, you know, the bottom line, Mike, that this world doesn't belong to a bunch of mass murderers printing currency. You know, they can offer easy credit terms. They can have a little get-together over the weekend and say, well, we're going to jack with the currency some more, blah, blah, blah. The real issue is what's the truth, right? I mean, here on planet Earth, if there are what? Would you say there's 100 million people that look on the Internet at information?
Oh, far more than that. I mean, it's the majority of Americans are now going to the Internet for their political news.
There you go. And
far more than for TV networks. So we're talking, you know, we're talking tens of millions, hundreds of millions.
Exactly. And the point is, just like in that 100th monkey principle, the American people, the only reason we're locked into this false reality is because X number of people watch TV. Well, the number of people who go to the Internet, they don't watch TV for their news and information.
That's correct.
So therefore, they can make decisions based on what the truth actually is, and the idiots and the retards and the crazies are still just, you know, stupid idiots and retards and crazies. They don't matter in the real world. They're just idiots, retards, and crazies.
But yeah, but they all have a vote.
Well, but that's a false reality, too. And the point is that you, whatreallyhappened.com and a bunch of other websites are now producing a whole different form of government, let's say, but a whole different state of mind, because people are in the moment, they're knowing what the truth is. We don't have to pretend for a bunch of media owners. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree with you. What we need to do now is to find out why people are not becoming angry over what they're learning. And, you know, that,
well,
of course, is the big mystery of our time.
You look at what happened in Belgrade yesterday, and the real issue is how are we going to funnel or channel the energy to where it's most effective. That's the real issue, Mike, isn't it?
Yeah, I would agree with you. Davey, I got to let you go here because we got another caller waiting on the line here. We're going to switch over to Kurt in Oregon. Aloha, Kurt. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. You were talking when you first started the program about the atmospheric skipping aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to, they can go to the web and put in Sanger, S-A-N-G-E-R, and America, spelled with a K, and they can look at the design from the mid-30s for an atmospheric skipping plane that was to go around the world, and the U.S. got all those blueprints in 1945, so there's absolutely no reason that we should be behind in any technology. We've had that technology for, what, 65 years now?
Well, you know, blueprints give you the basic idea, but you still got to go through a lot of engineering to make it the reality. And the bottom line is, I mean, America, because of the Apollo program, we left ahead of the rest of the world in so many technological areas, microelectronics, material science, aerodynamics, robotics, computer technology, all of that stuff, and we've squandered it. Instead of maintaining our leadership in these areas, we've sold it off. We've licensed the manufacturing to Japan and Taiwan and China. We've got... Okay, we got to take a break here, Kurt. We'll be right back.
Attention all business owners. Save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences. It's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains, and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-340-4634.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-340-4634. That's 1-800-340-4634.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Curt Norgan. We're talking about the American space program and the decline of America as a whole. During the Apollo race to the moon, the real value of that, and the value for the money that was invested, was not the flag on the moon and not Neil Armstrong and his great step and all the rest of it. The benefit of that commitment to developing new technology were microchips, new plastics, new metals, new processes, flight control systems, robotics, new medicines, new chemistry processes. I mean, the list is really quite impressive. And all of those new technologies were the product of the American people because it was developed with taxpayer funds. And as these technologies were spread out into the American society, entrepreneurs took these technologies and they devised products from them. And then they turned those products into industries to make and sell those products, which, you know, created jobs and powered the economic boom of the 70s and 80s and, you know, starting into the 90s. But America, the government, was resting on its laurels the whole time. Everything looked like it was just fine. And politicians, who are never thinking any further ahead than 2, 4, or 6 years to the next election, said, okay, we can stop spending money on technology development, you know, and we'll just, you know, we'll have our parades and we'll run the spaceships around and, you know, we've got the shuttle program and everything, which was developed in the 70s. But after that, just kind of just dropped it. We got out of the SST development. We scaled back all of the plans for the space station. It's nowhere near as large or useful as it was originally supposed to be. And, you know, over all this time, just kind of rested on their laurels. And apparently, as far as I can tell, all these other nations around the Earth have said, okay, the Americans aren't trying anymore. Let's overtake them in space technology. We already lost our manufacturing, high technology manufacturing lead to China and Taiwan and Japan. And now these same countries are out there. You know, the Japanese have Selene orbiting the moon, taking pictures of the Apollo landing sites. China's got their orbital space program going on. We know Russia's. We have America's astronauts, after the shuttle retires, America's astronauts are going to have to hitch rides on other countries' rockets, mostly Russia, because we don't even have that anymore. And so
Who was the lead designer on the Apollo and the space shuttle and the Titan and the Pershing missile? Who was the lead designer?
Well, the lead designer
Arthur
on
Apollo. Arthur Rudolph was the lead designer, and America threw him out and took away his Distinguished Service Medal.
Well, they did the same thing to Oppenheimer after the Manhattan Project. They declared him, because he was opposed to the construction of massive nuclear arsenals, they revoked his security clearance. He wasn't even allowed to read papers he himself had written.
Yeah. Well, they threw out our best designer of our rockets, so what's going to happen, you know? I mean, if you're going to take people who are the main brains behind your system and treat them like dirt, who wants to go into it? Go become a lawyer, and you can get rich in personal injury suits and class action suits.
Well, you know, it's even worse.
Further inefficient.
Kurt, gotta let me talk. My radio show. It's even worse than that because, along with turning our back on that desire for innovation and development, our educational system has mutated over the last couple of decades. It doesn't focus on education. It focuses on indoctrination. We have our schools. They've got Holocaust education classes and sensitivity and feminist issues and black studies, and now they're getting into global warming indoctrination. And we're not teaching our kids science and engineering and physics and chemistry that we would need to compete in a modern technological world. And one of the reasons why we've seen so many of America's high-tech companies flee the United States for other shores is not just the high taxation and regulatory compliance issues. They can't find a talent pool here domestically that is trained up to the same level that you would find in places like India and China and most of Europe. You know, because,
right.
You know, our kids are growing up able to recite chapter and verse about whatever the political dogma happens to be. We've turned into the old Soviet Union, where the kids were running around, you know, reading out of the Little Red Book and, I'm sorry, that was China, you know, the Little Red Book and reciting all the government doctrine, but they couldn't think and evaluate and invent and innovate. And that's really where the money is going to be made. So, we've lost our technological lead in space. I think that's an embarrassment to the U.S. government, and I think that's why they're trying to convince everybody that we have got, you know, UFOs and space aliens around, because they don't want to admit that China and or China-Russia have now moved way beyond the United States in terms of space technology for near-Earth atmospheric and transatmospheric vehicles.
What you say about the medical system in America, you say it's the highest price and it delivers 30th, 40th level in the
30th.
World medical results. The same is true of the educational system. We have the world's most expensive educational system, keeping a lot of kids out of school that have the ability. And we're not turning out, with the exception of MIT and Princeton, the majority of the education, higher education in America is not turning out educated people other than lawyers.
Well, you know, I mean, lawyers, that's basically scholarship rather than actual analytical thinking. But you're absolutely correct, and our whole culture is becoming more and more dependent on the computerization of our jobs, where people are just being trained to read what the computer screen says and push the button it tells you to push. You know, how very Metropolis, or what was that Charlie Chaplin movie about the mechanical world? I'm blanking on the name of that. But we're basically in that situation where we don't have a talent pool in general that is able to compete with other countries in the technological environment. I mean, that alone tells you we are a nation that is broken and in decline here. Kurt, we got to let you go. Thank you very much for the call. We'll be right back talking about the vehicle attacks in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Dan in our control room just reminded me that the movie I'm thinking of, the Charlie Chaplin movie, was called Modern Times, and it was one of his more serious works when Chaplin began to see his movie making as more than simple entertainment and a path to wealth. And there was, of course, Fritz Lang's Metropolis, the same thing, where the machines had become so central to society that people were being marginalized, and we're seeing it today. I mean, you've seen all the science fiction movies, computers take over the Earth. It's already happened. And this foreclosure gate is a perfect example. These people in their suits and ties or whatever the women are wearing, their office, where they sit there in front of a computer, and the computer says, you will take the home away from Mr. and Mrs. Smith at 22 Checkout Lane, East Podunk, Alaska, or whatever. And they say, yes, I hear and obey. I will go take the home away from these people. And the whole revelation of this foreclosure gate, nobody is questioning what is coming out of the computers. That's the state we are in right now. People are taught by the schools, by the corporations, sit in front of the computer, do what the computer tells you. And the computer has been saying, go and take the homes away from these people. And these humans just read the screen and they go and do what the computer says. And now we're finding out the information in the computer was wrong. and the homes were taken. And the big question, the unanswered question, how are we going to fix this? There are 4,000 homeless people on the island of Oahu. Most of them are living on this strip of land right around the center lock of Pearl Harbor. You can even see the tents through Google Earth, you know, peeking out through the trees. Now, obviously, you know, a lot of those people shouldn't be homeless. One-third of them are veterans. And a lot of those people should not, we're finding out, they shouldn't have lost their homes. Their homes were taken through fraud. How are we going to fix that? It is not enough for Bank of America to say, we're going to put a moratorium on all foreclosures in all 50 states until we can sort this out. Or until after the election, whichever comes first. How do we restore to those people who have lost their homes through fraud and misbehavior by the banks and mortgage companies and these private little contractors who sprung up to feed on the blood flow? How do we restore the homes to them? Are the homes still available? If not, how do we make good? How does the financial industry make good to the Americans it has cheated over the last 20 years? That is the question that should be uppermost on everybody's mind. And simply running the printing presses and showering more money over Wall Street to loan to us is not the answer. It's the answer from their point of view, not the answer from our point of view. All right, moving right along here. Interesting story came out over the weekend here, and this relates to the disaster at Kent State. Back on May 4th, 1970, there was an anti-war protest against Vietnam taking place at Kent State. And there was a demonstration, and all of a sudden the National Guard were there, and they started shooting. And they shot into the crowd, and they killed a lot of people. Very iconic photo of this one girl just crying, screaming and crying over the fallen body of one of her classmates. Well, there's been there was one tape recording of the actual incident captured by a student's tape recorder that was just sitting in a dormitory window. And apparently it has been subjected to some forensic audio work by a gentleman by the name of Stuart Allen. And he cleaned up the tape, and it captures four gunshots that preceded the firing by the National Guard on the students. It also captures the order to fire. And what this all comes back to is there was a known FBI informant on the edge of this protest. He was there ostensibly as a photographer for the university. He had made no secret of the fact that he routinely sold photos that he took of the peace activists to the police and the FBI. Subsequent years, it was revealed he was a paid FBI informant on that college campus. And if you're a college student, you're listening to this show. That persists to this day. Every college campus in America has FBI informants posing as students or among the students. They could, you know, they're real students, but they also work for the FBI. They get a paycheck from the FBI. Some of them do it for free. They want to go into government service, and this is their path to the inside. You know, they see themselves as James Bond wannabes, and, you know, they'll spy on you during the day and file reports to the FBI and then go home at night and whack off to old Sean Connery movies. And they're lowlifes, period, end of discussion. But in this case, the person who was accused of firing the first shots was this FBI informant. Now, he's denied it, and the FBI has denied it, and now this audio tape has surfaced, and it confirms the FBI informant started the shooting at Kent State. Remember what I said about the government tries to create the situations that it uses to keep you afraid? A classic example. This was during the heyday of COINTELPRO, where the FBI was wrecking people's careers. They staged a phony anti-war protest at Disneyland that turned violent by the informants in order to destroy the credibility of the peace movement in the media. The Black Panther coloring book, the wrecking of Gene Seberg's career with the planted story in the Los Angeles Times. This is what the FBI was really doing. Little side story. I know that the image of the FBI that is really out there when you go out and study the real historical documents is very, very different from the image of the FBI that you get in film and TV. That's intentional. J. Edgar Hoover understood early on the power and influence movies and later TV had over the minds of the public, even before he started the FBI. J. Edgar Hoover went head-to-head with Charlie Chaplin. Odd that we should be talking about him as well. Chaplin was making these movies that portrayed government officials as oafish buffoons, which was the public's general impression of anybody with a government job, that they're just, you know, jerks who happen to have a government job, and they'd let that little bit of authority go to their head, and they'd swagger and bluster, and that was how Chaplin portrayed them, and the audiences loved it, and that's why one of the reasons his films were so popular. And J. Edgar Hoover went to Chaplin out in Hollywood and told Chaplin, look, for the good of the nation, you should portray government people as really swell Joes, you know, and decent, caring, sincere, serious, kind people. They're the good guys. They must be portrayed as the good guys. And Chaplin, of course, said, that would destroy the marketability of my films. I'd be broke overnight. And basically told J. Edgar Hoover to take a hike. And years and years later, as head of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover was very instrumental in getting Charlie Chaplin's citizenship revoked and have him sent back to England. And he was not allowed to set foot in the United States again until the State Department granted him permission for one visit so he could pick up his Lifetime Achievement Award from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. I mean, that's how dirty the FBI really acts. There is a film out called The FBI Story, starring Air Force General Jimmy Stewart. And I think Mervyn LeRoy is credited as the director, if memory serves, and I may be wrong about that, but it doesn't really matter, because J. Edgar Hoover was on the set of that movie every single day telling the director how the FBI was to be portrayed, how Jimmy Stewart was to behave, how all the other FBI agents were to behave, and how all the bad guys had to be really, really evil. Because this movie, The FBI Story, was the first in a long continuing train of film and TV that were intentionally designed to make you think the FBI were just the greatest bunch of guys in the world, even as they were engaging in COINTELPRO and various cover-ups. Remember when Frank Whitehurst, who was head of the FBI lab, basically came out in the 90s and said the FBI lab, which is supposed to be the highest standard for criminal forensic lab in the country, that the FBI lab routinely rigged the results of their lab work to favor the prosecutions. They were lying. And he was the head of the lab. He blew the whistle on his own lab. And then the FBI demoted him to head of the paint chip division, which is sort of like, you know, being in the Air Force and getting sent to ADAC, Alaska, or Diego Garcia, or someplace like that. So the head of the FBI lab blew the whistle on his own lab, lying about prosecutions evidence. And, of course, it created a turmoil in the courts, and they had to go release a bunch of people and throw a bunch of cases out that were based on the FBI case. We know the FBI was up to their neck in the cover-ups of Oklahoma City, TWA 800. That's their job, and especially the Vince Foster cover-up. They went into Fort Marcy Park, and they bulldozed the place 6 inches down, took the soil away, and buried it in an undisclosed location. Every time they got something to hide, that's what they do. They did it at Waco, Texas. Bulldozed 6 inches down, took everything away, buried it in an undisclosed site. You're not to know where any of that material went. Same thing with Oklahoma City. The remains of the Murrah building, after it was brought down by controlled demolitions, the remains of the building were taken away and hidden in an undisclosed site. Right after 9/11, the key metal components were immediately sold as scrap to China. Get them out of the country, get them away from anybody who might go in there and take a sample for a lab analysis. So that's what's going on with that whole situation, and we're beginning to see that again. Now, I want to move over here. Let's see. We don't have anybody waiting on the phone lines. I want to talk to you about a very courageous gentleman who believes in living your life according to what you are convinced is the correct thing to be doing, not necessarily submitting to political or financial pressure. And I'm talking, of course, about Harold Lewis, who's the Emeritus Professor of Physics at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and in my mind is a modern scientific hero. Basically, he has been a member of the American Physical Society for 67 years. He's been around for a very long time. And this last week, he resigned. And he resigned with a letter which some observers are saying is on a scale of Martin Luther's 95 theses nailed to the door of the Wittenberg Church, saying, you guys are wrong, and this is why. What was the issue that drove this emeritus professor to sever his 76-year, 67-year membership with the American Physical Society, ClimateGate. And he basically goes in, and it's a very wonderful letter. It's linked to the front page of whatreallyhappened.com, and he says, when I got into physics, physics was not a profession where you made a lot of money. That didn't come about until after World War II, when the physicists were seen as the heroes who'd ended the war with Japan by developing the atomic bomb. And he says, you know, he basically says what I've been saying for a long time. There are trillions of dollars being invested to sell the idea of human-caused global warming. And Harold Lewis was appalled at how many members of the American Physical Society were willing to take their share of the loot and basically sell out their science and say, oh, yes, there's global warming and the people are to blame and carbon tax is absolutely necessary. And he says, it is obviously a sellout. And he says, it's the greatest fraud he's ever seen in his life. And he also called it the greatest and most successful fraud he's ever seen in his life. I would question that second word by virtue of his letter going out there, by virtue of the science, by virtue of a couple of very hard winters that we've had and looking like we're going into yet another one. I don't think the ClimateGate fraud is successful. Over in Cancun, China is digging their heels in over imposition of carbon taxes and global draconian controls on their internal affairs, because they're saying we've got snow a month earlier than we're supposed to be getting it, so don't get on to us about global warming. And of course the warmisters are coming back saying, oh, it's not global warming anymore, it's sudden drastic climate change. And it's an attempt to basically salvage a bad situation, but the bottom line is we know climate changes. It's always changing. It always has. It always will. It's been changing for 4.5 billion years. It's going to go on changing for another 6 billion or so until the sun goes boop, and that's all. And it was changing before there were humans. It'll continue changing after there are humans. The climate never, ever stays the same. It never has. It never will. This is a snake oil job on a planetary scale, taking something that happens naturally, declaring it to be a crisis, putting the blame on the people in order to force the people to buy the, you'll pardon the expression, solution. You know. Reminds me of that story about this guy who's standing in the middle of Main Street with his arms stretched out, spinning them in circles. Somebody walks over and says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm keeping the wild elephants away. And the guy says, there are no wild elephants. You know, they're over in Africa. They're nowhere near here. And the guy spinning his arm says, see, it works. And that's what we're getting from the warmistas. You know, they're passing carbon taxes and everything, and the disaster they predicted doesn't happen. And they say, see, it works. We made it not happen what we told you was going to happen. And, you know, it is. It's politics as usual. Take something that happens naturally, declare it a crisis, and sell a solution. A new scientific paper has come out suggesting the possibility that a more active sun actually reduces temperatures here on Earth. Now, whoever did this research... Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Jim Beardsley, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? What's going on?
Well, the lecture from Dr. Finkelstein ran quite a bit over, so we're not going to be able to get him on the air today. We're going to try tomorrow.
Okay.
Today he spoke at the University of Arizona in sunny Tucson, not to be confused with sunny Hawaii. And we're going to give him a little break so he can go to the outdoor pool. But we're also going to try and work it into a schedule for tomorrow, and I don't know how successful we'll be. I'll let you know after we're off the air, but I just wanted to call you so you're not kept hanging.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And, you know, Jim, thanks for all the work that you do for the site and trying to line up these guests for us. And we'll just look forward to talking to you all on tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. I'll talk to you later. Aloha.
All right, thanks enough. Aloha. Thanks an awful lot. Okay, there we go. That was Jim. So apparently we're not going to get Norman on the air today. Like I said, it's driven by his schedule, but it looks good for getting him on there tomorrow. Anyway, final story here, getting before the end of the break here. Whoever wrote this story about the sun being more active may cool the earth, they have not done their homework. Basically, they're looking at this idea that for some reason when the sun is more active, the earth is cooler, and they're saying this throws current global warming theory totally in chaos. which is a polite way of saying they really don't know what they're talking about anyway. Everybody's guessing, and therefore their prognostications, I mean, they've been wrong so many times in the past, you know, hide the decline. We shouldn't be paying attention to them now, certainly not to the point of enslaving ourselves to yet another global tax and a global government on the basis of completely unproven science here. Now, as a matter of fact, there is an explanation for why the Earth may get cooler during times of increased solar activity. Because when you have increased solar activity that tends to disrupt the Earth's magnetic field to a greater extent, more cosmic rays will reach the ground. Cosmic rays trigger cloud formation. When you look up in the sky and you see the clouds, everybody says, how come there's a cloud here but not over here? It's because the moisture in the air will condense around the little tiny ionization trail left by a passing cosmic ray. If you've ever seen a cloud chamber in a laboratory, that's the mechanism. Cosmic rays trigger clouds. The more cosmic rays, the more clouds. The more clouds, the cooler the Earth. We'll be right back.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I have a cautionary tale for you as we wrap up the work on ClimateGate here. In 2007, the California Air Resources Board adopted a regulation that forced businesses to cut their diesel emissions by replacing or making costly upgrades to heavy-duty diesel-fueled off-road vehicles used in construction and other industries. The cost of these repairs, of course, were extensive, placed a severe strain on these businesses, and were ultimately passed on to their clients and customers, and ultimately on to the consumers and people who were renting and using these facilities that were being built, or the products that were coming out of these facilities that were being built. In other words, it raised everybody's cost on everything. Now we are finding out that the pollution estimate used to justify the creation of this regulation was just an eensy-weensy bit overstated. 340%. 340%. They overstated this pollution measure and then used the number to force a law on everybody that cost everybody a lot of money. And this is why we have to be very careful about somebody standing up and saying, we must do this to save the environment. Because we have a long history of bad data, poor judgment, vested financial motive, and outright chicanery and crookedness. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Ed in Utah. Aloha, Ed. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks a lot, Mike. I want to respond to what you were talking about, the Kent State shootings way back in 1970. There are some interesting facts about it. I'm glad you brought up this confirmation that there was a first shot fired, or a couple shots fired before the Troop G, which was the National Guard unit that opened fire, that some of us had felt was actually in response to shots, to those shots. And there's a lot of little other facts. That famous photo you referred to with the co-ed kneeling over?
Yeah.
That was not a co-ed, Mike. That was Mary Vicio, a 16-year-old runaway from Florida. She was not
okay.
Yeah. And you didn't have it wrong. That's been pretty much established, but it's wrong. And people like Roland Michener, if you recall him, he even addressed that. The big push on this I got the info from was Mike Murphy, university professor, University of Wichita, some years back, wrote a discourse on this. So when you look at the fact that the Troop G, all four of them, they just swung with their gas mask still on, Mike, and mm-hmm. took those shots, that means it was spontaneous. That means they were reacting to shots. So what you said about this is very interesting.
Well, you know, I mean, the reason the National Guard took the heat was, you know, witnesses at the time had said there had been some additional gunfire, and the fingers were pointed at this FBI informant. His name was Terry. I don't remember his last name. And he denied it, and, you know, the FBI said, yeah, there's no evidence to support gunfire before the National Guard. And that's why the National Guard got blamed. But over time, you know, this idea that there was an agent provocateur that was there to try and trigger a reaction. And, you know, maybe the thinking was that if some of these protesters actually got hurt, that they would stop protesting. And, of course, exactly the opposite happened. So it was just a disaster. Anyway, Ed, we got to let you go. We're at the end of the show here. And there's the music. So we're done for today. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Central here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until tomorrow, aloha.
It's true.